Hello and welcome back to Postcards from Bosnia. And by the way, that wasn't an announcement from a railway station. That was from a local supermarket, I think. One of the sales assistants being called for. Anyway, I haven't posted one of these walks in the garden for some time, so I thought I would do it today. So I'm walking up the hill, hence maybe a little bit of a huff and puff from me. And yeah, so the last few days we've had Fritz and his wife Nicole staying with us here in the village in Čedarčeni, between Banja Luka and the Croatian border, I think is the best way to describe it. I'm going to walk through the long grass here. I hope I don't get bitten by a snake or an angry insect. Yeah, they've come back for the third or fourth time. They've already said they're coming back again next year. They just left a few hours ago. They're on a motorcycle going back to Niederösterreich, Lower Austria. But they'd been travelling from Austria down into Italy, taking a ferry to Greece, then into Albania, through Montenegro, and then finally came here to see us. And yeah, we had a really cool social time. Tamara made some nice local food, and we drank some pivo and some rakia. And yesterday, because it was so hot and they were so exhausted from almost 14 days of travel, they took it easy. And last night we went off to show them a place called Slap, which means small waterfall, which is outside Banja Luka, right on the River Verbas. And they loved it. The location is brilliant. And we had dinner there, and we just sat down and just chatted. It's really nice to do that at times, isn't it? And Fritz was taking videos and pictures, and we were talking about this and that. And then he'd never been into Banja Luka at all. So we drove along the river, and there's a place called Banja Vrućica. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Banja means spa, by the way. And Vrućica are these small pools between the side of the mountain and the River Verbas. Now, the water comes out of there. I think it must be about 30 degrees, maybe a bit warmer. And so last night, it was getting a bit chilly, and there were all these people sat in these pools. It's really, really nice what the mayor of Banja Luka has done. And yeah, people sat in there with cans of beer and whatnot, and just chilling out and enjoying the warm waters and the alleged healing properties that they have. So when you come to Bosnia-Herzegovina and you want to come and see the northern part of the country, the Krajina, I think that's directly translated into English as the frontier. It used to be the frontier region between the Ottoman Empire and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. If you want to come and visit this very, very under-visited part of the country, and the country is under-visited, really, in general, but this part even more so, then, why not come and stay with us, and we can show you around a bit. There's an email going out to subscribers at the moment on Substack, and there's a Substack note as well. So if you're looking for a new place to explore, a holiday destination, then why not consider Bosnia and Herzegovina, and in particular, why not consider coming and staying with us? Yes, we're going to charge you, right? But we're not doing it just to make money. We'll give you a good time showing you around places well off the tourist path. And where we went last night before we went into Banja Luka Center, both Nicole and Fritz said, you know, we would have just driven past this. We would never have known this wonderful thing is here. So we can take you, Tamara and I can show you places off the tourist trap. And moving slowly, not racing about from here to there, from location to location. And of course, the time you spend with us, we really do advise people not to eat international cuisine. You can do that in your own country or wherever else you go. So yeah, we did that last night. And then when we left the pools, we drove into Banja Luka, parked up, and walked through. And I think they were quite amazed, one, at the cleanliness and the orderliness of Bosnia and Herzegovina's second largest city, which Banja Luka is. The mix of architecture from very modern 21st century architecture, going back then to the almost brutalism style of the period when Tito, the leader of the former Yugoslavia when he was alive, what he'd built, and then before that to the Austro-Hungarian style buildings, which came at the start of the end of the 19th, start of the 20th century, when the international community then gave Austro-Hungary the mandate to look after what was then Bosnia-Herzegovina, and then before that, the older style Ottoman and Turkish style houses that were prevalent here during the 480 years of Ottoman rule. So they enjoyed that, and we were walking around, and as we came past the church, there was a small group of young people singing and being directed by another lady who I've yet to meet and interview, but she's not from Bosnia-Herzegovina, she's from Syria, and she's an Orthodox Christian, and she's part of the Christian Orthodox community here in this part of Bosnia-Herzegovina. She's got a phenomenal voice, sings in local folk groups, and was directing these children. And when I finish talking to you in a few minutes, I'm going to just let you listen to the rough recording that I did. I just had my phone in my pocket and took it out. We weren't too close to I'll call it a choir, and you can hear the sounds of youth singing a traditional song. I was pretty moved by it, and I hope you'll enjoy that, but I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So life here is cracking on as normal. We're still suffering with these very, very, very warm days, mid to upper 30s. As I walk through the grass at the moment, there's lots of brown patches. We are waiting for a downfall of rain, and I hope it's torrential. It should be coming, I don't know, in the next 4 or 5 hours, coming through the night, and hopefully it will rain all day tomorrow. We need this. The climate here has changed significantly in the 22, 25 years I've been here. Years ago at this time, we would have been getting the high 20s, 28, 29, and that would be it. Having said that, in the winter, we would have a metre and a half of snow, and we get down to the minus 20s. And of course, what has happened over those times, over those years, is we now have a winter which is significantly warmer, just maybe 2 or 3 days of a light dusting of snow, well, compared to what we used to have. And then we have the season where the fruit trees and bushes are in blossom, and it seems as soon as they blossom, we then get a cold snap, and that cold snap then kills off everything, and then we don't have any fruit. So the plum orchard that I'm looking at the moment now, it looks very, very sad. And we had some strong winds a few months ago, and lots of those trees have broken and snapped down. So I have no idea what Tamara's father is going to do. I think he said he's going to cut them all off and then replant. But then again, he's in his mid to upper 70s. And does he really want that? You know, is he going to live long enough to see these trees grow again? I don't know, but he'll make that decision. And thank goodness we have enough rakia from all the years previous that we won't go without. I'm looking down at all these really small green apples that are just windfalls, and they're lying in a couple of large heaps on the ground. And you might say, well, David, why don't you pick them up and do something with those? Well, we're going to let them rot a little bit more, and then we will pick them up, put them into wheelbarrows, and then take them next door to the neighbour and put them into big plastic vats. And these will then rot down, because this is the sort of fruit that we will need to make jabuka vača, which is apple brandy, apple rakia, if you will. Whether we get enough šljiva, and šljiva are plums, hence the word šljivovica, plum brandy, I don't know, but it looks like we're going to have enough in the way of apples. So we have these small, very, very sour, very, very tart apples. At the bottom of the garden, some gorgeously red ones. They look absolutely like the colour of strawberries. I might go down there later on when it's a bit cooler and pick them. But yes. Oh, and we have a small amount of pears as well. So it's very, I don't know, being an Englishman, being a Brit, we always seem to start conversations with weather. I don't know whether that's in our DNA or not. Let me know if you're a Brit and every time you speak to somebody, you start talking about the rain, the clouds, the weather. It'd be interesting. So, yeah. I say that my life is boring, but when I think about it, it's not. It's just that I've gone from being somebody that lived in a very, very fast-paced media world, and the breaks went on significantly. So I've just, like, over the last years, almost come to a screeching halt under another tree now because I need the shade. I'm a fair-skinned guy, so I burn very, very easily. But it is very difficult, I have to say, even for me now, to wake up in the morning and my mind is racing away, you know, write something for Substack, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I can, within an hour and a half, and then I'm thinking, well, am I bored? And, you know, back in the day, even the thought of being bored, you know, was, you know, people were hypercritical, I was hypercritical of myself. But now I just think, no, I'm just going to take it easy. I should buy more hardback books, but it's difficult getting English language books here, so I'd get the next best option, which is my Kindle, and I read there. Whether that's affecting my screen time or not, I don't know. Does reading a Kindle count as screen time? I mean, it's not the type of screen that damages your eyes. And I have significantly fewer apps on my phone now. You've heard me talk about this before, I know. Trying to dump the dopamine. But yeah, life is good. And as I say, we've had these 2 days with Fritz. We've got some more guests coming on Friday. And Tamara is exceedingly excited. Planning now for a trip we're going to make within the country in September, at the end of September, where we're going to be spending, or we're going to travel to and spend a night at a village. It's called Lukomir. It's the most remote village in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And I think for a good few months in the year, maybe more than four, maybe five, it's inaccessible because of snow, because it's right up on the mountain. But yeah, we're going to go there. And we have friends from Germany, Chris and his girlfriend. And they're going to come down and we're all going to go off, the four of us, to meet up with Senad, who's we know and who's a mountain leader. I'm going to take him for safety more than anything else. And he's got a good 4x4, of course. And then we're going to go to Lukomir. Some stories about what happens to me in my life. So the birds are singing. And yeah. We were saying last night, when Nicole was looking at the River Verbas at the waterfall, and she says, everything is perfect here. And I remember being a young soldier, all those years ago in northern Germany, and myself and my first wife, who was German, I got involved in as much German culture as I could, and there used to be an orchestra at the time, pop orchestra. For those that are over the age of 60, you may have remembered a guy called James Last. Not a very German name, I know, but it was a James Last orchestra. And they made a piece of music that went to a TV film of a book. And translated into English, and I hope I get this right, is at 7 in the morning, the world is in order. I think that is correct. If you are a German or you know anything about James Last or German television from the 1970s, please drop me a comment. Put me right. I may have translated that wrong. But at 7 in the morning, the world is in order. And for me, at 7 o'clock every morning the world is in order and it is in order now. Oh yeah, right, so back to Banja Luka. Remember I was saying about walking past the church? Here's that short recording. I think it's just a couple of minutes long. The quality isn't brilliant. I just managed to get my phone out very quickly and get it fired up on an audio app. And a car goes past because we were stood at the side of the road. I have no idea what the name of this song is or what this song is about. But I thought it would be nice for you to listen to some young people singing a traditional song in the open air in Banja Luka. Right. Until the next one of these, Postcards from Bosnia, I'm David Bailey. I am an Englishman in the Balkans telling stories about everyday life as far as it affects me. Please, if you're catching this on Substack Notes or find this on the internet anywhere, please, please do subscribe to my Substack. It is free. If you want to take out a paid subscription to get everything, because quite a lot of the content is behind a paywall, I would really appreciate that. And if you would like that paid content, but you are not in a position to pay £6 a month without any questions being asked, and you don't have to give a reason, just send me an email to David@anenglishmaninthebalkans, that's all one word, anenglishmaninthebalkans.com, and just say, could you please give me a paid subscription? I can't afford it at the moment. I'm not going to tell anybody that it's you, and you will get one immediately, because I think, you know, it would be a shame if you really wanted to get the content and you couldn't afford it, that you shouldn't get it. Anyway, enough of me waffling. I'll catch you next time. Vidimus opet. And that means I'll catch you next time. Ciao for now.